This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You know, most of you today should be familiar with the four letters WWJD. You can find those four letters on bracelets, bumper stickers, t-shirts, you name it. So, what does WWJD stand for? Well, it stands for What Would Jesus Do? Now, I recognize that most people have good motives when they ask that question, what would Jesus do? Obviously, as Christians, we want to live in a way that honors God. Because of His love and forgiveness for us, we want to live a life of worship that is in conformity with His will for our lives. However, today's text doesn't really talk about how we should live. We'll get to that later in Colossians. I'll be preaching on that in a future sermon down the road. But today's text actually would move us to ask a different question. Rather than asking, what would Jesus do, which, by the way, we don't really know. I mean, how can any of us know what Jesus would do? But today's text would move us to ask another question. And that different question could be summed up by the letters WDJD. And they stand for, what did Jesus do? Today's text tells us that. So, let's take a look at our text for today and find out what did Jesus do. However, as we examine today's reading, we will quickly discover that before Paul even answers the question, what did Jesus do, he first makes very, very sure that we know who Jesus was and who Jesus is. You see, what Jesus did can't be separated from who Jesus was and who Jesus is. And so Paul begins today's reading with these words about Jesus. He says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things were created by Him, and for Him He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Did you hear what Paul is saying about the man, Jesus? First, Paul calls Jesus the image of the invisible God. Simply put, because Jesus is God in human flesh, we are able to see Him, we are able to touch Him, we are able to hear Him, etc. In fact, listen to what John writes about this in his first epistle. He says, That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. So those people that lived in Jesus' day, especially the apostles, they were able to hear God talk. They were able to see God walk around. They were able to touch God. Now, I know we're not able to do that because Jesus is not here with us physically walking around like He was with the apostles. But guess what? One day He will be. One day He will return in power and glory, and you will be able to hear Him with your own ears and see Him with your own eyes and touch Him with your own hands. Jesus is God in human flesh. Paul wants us to know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. But you know, if you ask people in our culture to give you their opinions about who Jesus was, well, you will get various answers. But the one thing most of their answers will have in common today is that Jesus was just a man, no different than any other human being who was born, lived, and then died. But my friends, Scripture says the opposite. Today you have heard both Paul and John teach you that Jesus is God's eternal Son in human flesh. In fact, Paul says that Jesus is the firstborn over all creation. Now, we have to make sure we understand what Paul means by that. You see, some have pulled these words out of context and have twisted their meaning so as to suggest that Jesus is only human and not God. Here's how these false teachers will argue. They will say, hey, see, Paul calls Jesus the firstborn. Well, that means Jesus was created. And if he was created, well, then he can't be God, can he? Well, these false teachers are wrong about Jesus for two reasons. First, they are wrong because when Paul calls Jesus the firstborn, he's not teaching that God's Son had a beginning. He's not teaching that God's Son was created. Instead, Paul uses the word firstborn to refer to Jesus' authority over all creation. You see, in Paul's day, the firstborn son had authority over the family along with his father. And so when Paul calls Jesus the firstborn, he means that Jesus shares authority along with God the Father. Secondly, the false teachers are wrong about Jesus because Paul clearly writes that God's Son was not created, but instead he is the Creator himself. Remember what Paul wrote? For by him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. You can't say that about a mere man. But why is it so important for you to believe that Jesus is God? Four reasons. First, it is important for you to believe that Jesus is God because Scripture teaches that we should worship Jesus. That's why we're here today, one of the reasons anyway, to worship Jesus. But my friends, if we're worshiping only a man, well then we're guilty of idol worship, worshiping a created thing. We should all go home if Jesus is only a man. But my friends, we're not going home because we're here to worship Jesus, and we're here to worship Jesus because he is God, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Secondly, it is important for you to believe that Jesus is God because Scripture teaches that Jesus is in control of all creation, and as Paul says, he holds all things together. Again, Jesus could not do that if he were not God. This also means that anything that happens in this world, such as catastrophes, like floods or hurricanes and earthquakes, this doesn't mean that God is not in control. He is. What it means is that he allows these things to happen for a reason. These things all happen as part of Jesus' plan for this world. Sometimes God allows these tragedies to remind us that we live in a world broken by sin and that we need the hope that only Jesus can give. Sometimes God allows these things to happen to remind us how much we need the Lord and how we're nothing without him. And so as Christians, we trust that Jesus is in control and that he works for our good even through the trials and tragedies of this life. Thirdly, it is important for you to believe that Jesus is God because in today's reading, Paul says that Jesus is the firstborn from among the dead. Now, what does Paul mean by that? Well, remember that title firstborn means Jesus shares authority over all creation with the Father. So what Paul means is that Jesus has authority even over death itself. For example, in John's Gospel, we read these words of Jesus. Jesus says, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have authority to lay my life down, and I have authority to take it up again. Did you hear that? Nobody forced Jesus to die. He died for us willingly. And on top of that, Jesus came back to life by his own power and authority. My friends, only God can do that. And that's why Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And after speaking these words, Jesus then asks us this question, do you believe this? Jesus asked this question because we can't receive his salvation unless we believe we need it, and unless we believe that Jesus is God and that he can actually give it to us. Fourth and finally, it is important for us to believe that Jesus is God because, as I said last Sunday, if Jesus is not God, then his death on the cross is meaningless. But my friends, Jesus is God. Therefore, Jesus' death on the cross for you means everything. Paul writes, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in his Son, and through him to reconcile to himself all things by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So, now that we know who Jesus was and is, and why it's important for us to believe that Jesus is God, we're now ready to consider those four letters, WDJD. What did Jesus do? Well, remember, we can't separate the person of Jesus from his work. They go together. And this is especially important as we consider Jesus' work for us on the cross. Of course, when we think of Jesus' death on the cross, some obvious questions arise. Why did Jesus have to die in the first place? Why did God's Son take on human flesh only to end up suffering and dying on a cross? Why did the Father ask his Son to do this? Why did Jesus have to do this in order to bring peace between us and God? Well, Paul answers those questions for us in today's reading, where he writes, once you were alienated from God, and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now God has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. Paul teaches us some very important things here. First of all, Paul teaches that we are God's enemies by nature. Now, I know that's not a popular teaching in our world today, but it's the truth. Ever since the fall of Adam and Eve, we are by nature God's enemies. We are conceived as God's enemies, not because he doesn't love us, but because we don't love him. We inherit a sinful nature from Adam, the first human who rebelled against God along with his wife Eve. We are their descendants. And as Paul says, the very thoughts of our minds are at odds with God. We want to do what we think is right and good. We are God's enemies by nature, unless the Holy Spirit creates in us a new heart. For example, just examine your thoughts and your words and your deeds, and then compare them with God's holy will for you, and you will quickly realize that you are an enemy of God in your mind. You resist God more than you realize. Now, it's true, as Christians, we have a new nature that wants to serve God. We have a new heart that loves him and wants to follow him, but that old sinful nature is still with us, that sinful nature that we inherited from Adam, and all we have to do is be honest with ourselves to realize it's there, still pulling us in the wrong direction. Now, what do we deserve because of our evil rebellion against our Creator? Well, since God is holy and just, he must punish evil. He cannot simply overlook it. Therefore, God ought to condemn us to hell for all eternity. But God also teaches that he is full of mercy and love. In fact, the Bible teaches that God even loves his enemies. He loves us sinners who have rebelled against him time and again. So this appears to lead to a dilemma. How can God be both just and merciful? How can God punish sinners and forgive them at the same time? Well, the amazing, unbelievable solution that God came up with is the cross. God took your sin and my sin, the sin of all people, and He put it on His Son. On the cross, Jesus suffered the damnation we all deserve so that we might be holy in God's sight without blemish and free from accusation. Only the death of God's Son could accomplish such a loving miracle. My friends, because God's Son shed His blood on the cross, you are forgiven and you are reconciled to God. Because God's Son shed His blood, you are free to live as God's child now and rejoice in His loving will for all eternity. But wait a minute, that leads to another question. If God loves all sinners, and if God sent His Son to die for all sinners, then why, according to Scripture, are some people going to end up in hell? Well, Paul answers that question after he tells us about Jesus' death for us. Paul says, "If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel." What warning is Paul giving us here? Well, sadly, some people hear about Jesus' death for sinners, but they never repent of their sin, and they refuse to trust in Jesus as their God and Savior. It's like somebody drowning in the ocean, and somebody on a ship throws them a life preserver, but instead of grabbing onto that life preserver, they push it away. They don't think they need it. So even though Jesus died for all people, some refuse to believe and thereby send themselves to hell. And then there are other people who hear about Jesus' death for sinners. They do repent, they do believe, but then later they wander away. Later they embrace sin again and refuse to repent. Later they turn their backs on Jesus. And sadly, they end up separating themselves from the God who loves them. It would be like somebody being rescued from the ocean and brought up on to the safety of a ship, and then the next morning they get up and say, "You know, I'd rather be in the ocean with the sharks than to jump overboard." But my friends, God doesn't want that to happen to you. That's why it is so important for us to hear God's word in Paul's letter to the Colossians. We need to continue to believe who Jesus is and what He did for us. We need to meditate on that every day. That's how God keeps us focused on Himself. And that's why Paul says to you, continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. So remember and believe who Jesus is. He is your Creator. He made you and He continues to care for you. And He is able to give you eternal life even in the face of death itself. Also, remember every day what Jesus did for you. He died on the cross in your place of damnation. If you meditate on that loving sacrifice every day, it's pretty hard to turn your back on God when you realize all that He was willing to sacrifice for you. Because of that sacrifice, you are now at peace with God, even though you don't deserve it. Because of that sacrifice, you are holy in God's sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Isn't that a great comfort? I know it is for me. All the sins we've committed in our lives, all those horrible things that should lead us to eternal shame, Paul says that we're now without blemish and free from accusation. Through faith in Christ, all your sins are washed away. So I don't care who you are or how long you've been wandering from God or whatever you've done. When God calls you to repentance and faith in His Son, it's all washed away. you have no more blemish. You are free from accusation. My friends, as you hear God's word, He will teach you about who Jesus is. As you hear God's word, He will teach you about what Jesus did for you. We need to hear this word of God on a regular basis. Because you see, my friends, the Holy Spirit works through God's word not only to call us to faith in Christ, but He also works through God's word to keep us in the faith. The Holy Spirit works through God's word to keep us firm in the faith in Christ Jesus. And that's why, my friends, it's so important for us to continue to grow in God's Word. Because it's through the preaching and teaching of God's Word that the Holy Spirit moves us to continue in our faith, established and firm. So, my Christian friends, always remember and never forget the meaning of those four letters, WDJD. What did Jesus do? In fact, I would suggest that we add two more letters. WDJDFY. What did Jesus do for you? You see, all that Jesus did, He did it for you. He did it for you because He loves you and He wants you to live in His love now and for all eternity. Amen.